Everybody, welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Caitlin.
She's very non-committal lately. Like wow. Sometimes she's in, sometimes she's not.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm glad she's here. I do appreciate that. Just having her in the room is nice.
Maybe at some point she will feel compelled to jump in and join us.
Yeah.
We're going to drive to Burbank.
Yeah. It's
from Long Beach.
Always
That's
so
an
weird.
Hour, hour and a half drive.
Like this bit would have made sense before she had a kid.
Right.
But now to take all this time away just to come here and sit in silence.
Right.
On a Saturday.
Seems like a waste.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a kid at home.
Yeah. You could be at the pool or
the pool in November.
Yeah. Yeah. You could be playing basketball.
Peak pool season here in
Any
California.
Of those things. How have you been since we recorded last?
I've been good. Yeah. I think, wasn't Caitlin like wasted last time?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was some drinking happening. This is a surprisingly sober episode of Pretty Scary.
Until we get into your grain alcohol.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a shot?
No. I mean, the tincture I make with it, it's like a shot. But
I would assume it would be like moonshine, which moonshine...
It's close, yeah.
...made me wet my bed.
Yeah, it's 192 proof. That's
illegal, I would assume, in some states.
Probably, yeah. Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, I had it delivered via the Drizzly app, and it was very convenient. And now I'm going to make marijuana I can put in water.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Thanksgiving.
Of
Just
course.
Some time, right?
Yeah. I'll travel with it.
Good.
I'll try.
Are you going back to Illinois?
I might. If I do, it'll be closer to Christmas and not Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
But I might. I haven't been back in a while. We'll see. What about you?
I'm going to go to Arizona to see my mom. She lives in a retirement village called Surprise.
Oh, Surprise.
A bunch of Del Webb homes.
So do they call it that because you just pull the parents up without telling them where they're going? And then it's Surprise,
surprise
here's your retirement
here's
home.
Your, yeah, community center. I hope you guys all get along.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And they have roadrunners. That's the craziest thing is driving and you see these little roadrunners.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just.
I don't think I've ever seen a roadrunner.
Yeah, they're actually pretty tiny.
Oh, disappointing.
Like maybe a foot or two?
They should be more like the cartoons.
That's why I was thrown off when I first saw one.
But I don't want coyotes to walk on two legs because there's a lot of those around me and I don't want to go outside and see that.
That's fair. The Roadrunners seem harmless. They're pretty fast. But yeah, the great thing about going and seeing my mom now, one, it's like 2 days. Like, we'll drive in on Thanksgiving because there's no traffic, and it's a straight shot down the 10. And then I come back like Saturday, and she got me a new laptop for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Which was very nice. Like, I just have to plant seeds. I'm like, yeah, we should go laptop shopping on Black Friday. And then she called me yesterday and she's like, okay, I went ahead and just bought you one. I was like, thank you. So much better than me buying one, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
For sure. And she makes me like chocolate chip pancakes and we watch true crime and she knows the way to my heart. She was like, you drink Chardonnay, right? And I was like, yes.
Yeah, my mom always buys vodka when I come to town.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
She really is buying my affection. I mean, I would probably go anyway, but this does make it more fun for me.
So what are we talking about today?
Things you find in walls.
Creepy shit that people found in walls, mostly bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to put one story on here, and before I tangent into that, we're talking about people finding creepy shit in walls during renovations and things. So let's talk about some actual cases of people finding bodies and other unpleasantness. This story is the fucking craziest. Joanne Nichols, she was a 55-year-old former first grade teacher at Gayhead Elementary School in Hopewell Junction, New York.
I actually giggled when I read Gayhead 2, and then I saw your next notes were, ha, Gayhead. And I was like, yes, we are on the same page.
She was reported missing December 21st, 1985 by her husband, James Nichols. He called to say his wife didn't show up for a hair appointment at a beauty parlor, and police discovered the couple's vehicle in the parking lot of a nearby shopping center the next day. An investigation ensued, but the case remained unsolved. Police reviewed it each year and were never able to find a suspect. James Nichols, the husband, was found dead in December 2012 in the home he shared with his wife. This is sad. When he died, they were not able to locate any relatives who were willing to take his body.
So they had no kids, it sounds like, and he didn't remarry.
Right.
Okay.
So the Dutchess County Department of Community and Family Services buried him in an unknown location.
In an unmarked grave?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Maybe under the Cincinnati Music Hall. Hey, foreshadowing alert. So before you get too sad over that, after he died, his house was sold, obviously, and contractors came in to clear out the home. They discovered the skeleton of a woman behind a false wall in the basement. The hands were tied with rope. A large area of the right side of the skull were missing. Remains were later identified as those of Joanne Nichols. Autopsy showed cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head.
Well, it also says the remains were stuffed in a plastic bin,
oh, right,
wrapped in a plastic bag, and then wrapped in a sheet.
Right.
I always think that's interesting when people bury their victims and they leave them bound.
Yeah.
I don't know why that fascinates me, but it's kind of like, could you at least like untie them
first? Make them a little more comfortable, please.
Yeah, before you stuff them into a bin. I don't know. It just seems more humane.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just a logistics thing. Like once they're in there, you forgot to do it.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And you're Let me build this fake wall.
I meant to untie her, and now like I'd have to flip her over and unwrap the plastic. And
so here's the thing. Okay, so two questions. Well, probably a lot of questions, but how? So a fake wall, is that just like if you have like paneled walls, you just find the same paneling and then put it?
It could be that, or like this area behind us that I have blocked off with curtains. You could conceivably put up wall there. And then that back area, people would just not know existed.
So then body's decomposing smell.
Right.
And it doesn't say anything about him like putting lime, because usually lime will help mask the smell.
It did say in the article that the fake wall probably helped with the smell.
Okay.
Because I'm imagining it was like a brick wall or something where, yeah, I mean, it probably smelled a little for a while, but
just get used to it.
Yeah. You get used to it.
Yeah.
You incorporate it into your routine. So yeah, I don't think we've said it, but James Nichols probably killed his wife. They still haven't actually figured that out.
2012, so the 6 years ago. And it's still an active investigation. Come on, Poughkeepsie. Get your shit together.
This is Poughkeepsie, New York Police Captain Paul LeComte. It's now safe to say James Nichols is a suspect in this case. I think so. I think that is safe to say.
But, okay, then what?
Like, yeah, I mean, it's just like...
You convict a dead man and...
Sorry, he got away with
sentence
it.
Sentence him to death, yeah.
Yeah, this is... They're just going to have to live with this one. Because what are they going to do? I mean, they could do... You can't do DNA and determine that his DNA was on her. It's his wife.
Yeah, this one's a tough one.
He wins, I think.
He does win, but does he win? Because obviously he wasn't claimed by anybody, so his relatives weren't that fond of him. He didn't remarry. So he probably lived a really sad, lonely existence for that last 17 years.
Maybe he killed all of those people. And the last two were just hiding out.
Get married, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's really her fault for picking the wrong guy.
She has a bad picker.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever watched The Millionaire Matchmaker. But, yes, usually the millionaire matchmaker will say, you know what, your picker's broken. So I think Joanne's picker was broken.
Yeah, but her skull was definitely broken.
But if she was 55 in 1987. 1985. Wait, 1930 is when she was. I mean, that's just what you did. You got married. I don't know why she didn't have kids. Maybe that's why he killed her. But yeah, and then you beat your wife, I think, in that order.
Yeah. Or maybe they had kids and they're just such fuck ups. They couldn't. Because it said there were two family members who weren't able to claim the body.
Able.
Yeah.
That's an interesting choice of words.
Because, I mean, if you don't have the money to bury or cremate a person, then you just got a dead body on your hands.
Right.
And you're just carrying it around with you. Let's talk about this next creepy-ass story. This one happened in Valdosta, Georgia. The one we talk about next happened in Detroit. Construction workers were renovating the Converse building. I don't know if that's like Converse shoes.
I would think so.
In the city's downtown area. They knocked out a wall on the second floor and more than 1,000 human goddamn teeth fell out.
Well, you go on to add in your notes, possibly why this happened.
Right. Well, it still doesn't. I mean, there was a dentist. The building was occupied by dentists in the 1900s and in the 1930s. What's even weirder, though, is this is not the first time thousands of teeth have fallen out of a wall in a building in Georgia.
So maybe it's like a Georgia thing?
It could be, because what this article, which is on news.com.au.
Their new state flower is teeth in the wall.
Teeth in the wall.
Teeth in the wall. If you were a dentist in the 1900s, you put teeth in the wall.
It seems like they did. This article mentions that back then, people would sometimes dispose of like razor blades for shaving and shit just by putting them in the crack between their medicine cabinet and the wall, so it would just fall into the wall. The speculation is that maybe dentists in Georgia at this time did this as a common practice.
Yeah.
So if you're living in a building in Georgia that used to house a dentist's office, there's probably thousands and thousands of human teeth inside the walls.
Do you ever think, like, when you were a kid, did you have, like, a tooth fairy? Did you believe in that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, what did your parents do with the teeth? Like, here's 50 cents, and then they just toss them, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know. What if they have them all?
Right? And made, like, a necklace?
I mean, some people do that. They save baby teeth, which is horrifying. I mean, you could...
Like, maybe the first one. Yeah, like, their first haircut.
But then it's going to get routine 17, 18 teeth in.
And then what you do with it?
Make a necklace.
Yeah.
Make a or you make matching bracelets.
Yeah.
For mom and kid. So they're always
and then
bonded.
Paint their name on the teeth.
Yeah.
Every teeth is a letter.
Mom wears the upper row, kid wears the bottom row. Or you can flip that.
Like that. Like a best friend necklace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really bonds people.
They make a full mouth when they're together.
That's smart.
Yeah. That is.
Yeah. You might want to patent that.
We need to get, what's the girl's name who puts the
Dee Kettleson?
Dee Kettleson.
Yes. From A Piece That Remains.
Yes. New product idea, baby teeth charm
jewelry.
Bracelets. Yeah. Yeah. You can paint, like you said, paint a little something on each one, decorate it up.
Right.
Put like initials, put important dates, like a 9/11 memorial.
How could you like fossilize it so it wouldn't, like there's got to be like, you can shellac it.
Yeah. Would it keep rotting, you mean?
Yeah, or like if you dropped it, would it break?
Teeth are pretty sturdy.
Pretty resilient.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not gumming stuff yet.
Yeah, we should look into that. We should get some bracelets made out of teeth. How about these 11 babies found in the ceiling of an abandoned funeral home? This is a fucking insane story.
Well, after the first sentence, I was like, that probably makes sense.
Oh, yeah. This happened at a place called Cantrell Funeral Home in Detroit. Police entered back in April and found two bodies overgrown with mold, and the face of a third was covered with a strange fluid. How do bodies mold?
That's what I was wondering, too. I've never heard of that.
I wonder if they were embalmed and then just not stored properly?
Possibly. If they were, well, yeah, because it does say bodies have been stashed in an unrefrigerated garage for weeks or months.
But yeah.
I do know that you need to keep them chilled.
Right. Yeah, that's an important part of keeping a body from decomposing.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe he thought it was just cool enough in the garage because it was April in Detroit. So you're still, like, they were probably there all winter because in the winter in a garage in Detroit, two bodies are probably going to be fine.
Right.
But then the thaw hit.
Encino Man.
Right. You're getting water in your basement because that's how it works in the Midwest when all the snow melts at once. He's got that to worry about.
Right.
And then you just, it slips your mind that there are moldy and fluid covered bodies.
And possibly 11 babies in your ceiling.
Maybe 11 babies in your ceiling.
Right.
I think he was pretty sure of that. This is the craziest part about this is they went in and they find these bodies. And they talked to him. They talked to the owner. His name was Raymond Cantrell. Mm-hmm. And he said he'd been storing the bodies as a favor to the families until they could come up with money for funeral expenses.
He didn't store them very well.
No, no.
Would that be a lawsuit? Or is that just like a handshake? Like, okay.
It's like a gentleman's agreement, I think.
Right. Let me see what I can do with this Kickstarter.
Yeah,
I
doubt he legal zoomed it and downloaded the documents to make it an official agreement.
Right.
It's like, so they basically put their relatives on layaway.
Essentially, yeah. Every 2 weeks when it was payday, just pay a little bit more.
Yeah, and eventually you'll get them
by
buried.
By Christmas.
It'll be a closed casket thing. Maybe that's cheaper because they're going to be covered in mold.
Yeah.
Or you can just do it open casket and force the visitors to accept your dead relative's new form as the mold man.
Yeah. So, gosh, I recently, I say this with all due respect because I just went to a funeral for a friend of mine and a coworker, and he got leukemia and probably died within 2 or 3 months. I mean, it was crazy. It was fast. Like, we just heard, I think in September. And then he went into the hospital for chemo and just never came out. And he had just had his first kid 6 months ago.
That sucks.
He was 44 and his wife is now in her 30s and like a widow, a single parent.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what to do. But he died like 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks before his funeral. And they had an open casket. And he was very dark. So I was like, I don't know if like the, you know, is it, because it's been 2 weeks, so his coloring's different.
Right.
And it gets darker. Or do they just have a really bad makeup artist at the morgue in Gilroy?
Yeah.
It almost looked, and again, I mean this with all due respect, but almost like blackface, where I was like, what? This isn't his coloring.
Yeah, that's weird.
But yeah, so it was in,
he was white?
Well, he was Hispanic, but light-skinned.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know, because I know you have to bury white people right away. Or they just start
really
turning all sorts of crazy colors. Yeah. You got to get a white person in the ground almost immediately.
And that's what I thought. Because I thought typically, and I think because even though they knew he had leukemia, they still had to do an autopsy because he got some virus that took him out. They think maybe pneumonia. So again, I don't know why it was 2 weeks, although he was in Texas when he passed away and they flew him to his hometown of Gilroy.
Oh,
so
sure.
So that probably took some time too. But I always thought funerals were just a few days after.
Yeah, you typically, but not always.
Right.
Yeah, that's a sad story.
It's a very sad story. The worst was seeing the wife who was like, yeah, now I'm trying to figure out my life. Her family lives in Hawaii. And she was like, yeah, I think I'm going to move back there. But that's where we are going to retire, you know? And now
sucks.
It's just, yeah. And then to know he was like 44, it's like, well, I'm 42.
So am I.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So, yeah, this story gets so much weirder. Because police go in, they find these bodies. This guy's like, I was just doing a favor. And they were like, no, that's not a favor. We're going to shut this place down. And so it gets shut down. The building hadn't been occupied. And then...
Why did, though, they enter? Like, does somebody tip them off? Like, maybe a disgruntled family member?
Yeah, that I'm not sure. I think they might have been tipped off to that also. Mm-hmm. You'd think they almost had to be.
Right. Like, what would be the point of raiding a funeral home?
Right. Unless it's the, I don't know if you've ever watched The Wire, but
no,
it might be a front operation for heroin ring.
I did watch Ozark, which is a front for a money laundering ring.
Oh, sure. Yeah. See?
So same vein.
Yeah. Same difference. Mm-hmm. So after this same month, this happened in April of 2000. Oh, I think it was April of this year. That same month after they find these bodies, they shut the place down. They get an anonymous letter with directions to a hidden compartment in the ceiling of this funeral home. And inside the ceiling was a cardboard box and a casket. The casket contained 2 dead infants. The box held 9 more, which were wrapped in trash bags. No charges so far, though.
Well, it was just reported last month. So yeah. I'm sure they're trying to figure out who these kids are. How do you not... this is so weird on so many different levels. Like, yeah, whose kids were they? Were they reported missing? How old were they? Were they stillbirths? Were these all layaway children?
Yeah.
It's very interesting. And the letter writer, the anonymous letter writer, was it the same person who tipped them off? Like, somebody really had an axe to grind with him.
Yeah, no shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like Raymond should have been exercised a little more discretion about where he was hiding babies.
Right.
I wonder if it was I wonder if in the case of the babies, it was the parent, maybe the parents wanted the kids cremated and he was like, all right, I'll cremate them, and then just gave them like a urn of cigarette and cigar ashes or something.
Maybe. And who would know? But then what would be the point of keeping them unless, didn't you call them like child trophies or something? Or that's the ones in Japan.
Yeah, that's the Japan one coming up. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe to save money. I don't know if maybe. Because remember there was that case in Georgia. I didn't put it on here because it wasn't quite the same thing. But it happened in like 2002 and the police raided this crematorium because people were complaining about the smell, and they found just like dozens and dozens of bodies stacked up in the back, like just out in the open behind a shed and shit. And the guy was like, my fucking oven broke and I didn't have the money to fix it.
Oh my goodness.
So he had just...
Can you get insurance on something like that?
You would think that you would almost be required to have oven insurance at a crematorium.
Right.
Because conceivably, if you're going to have bodies on your hands at all times, and if that oven breaks, you're going to want to fix that pretty quick so you can cook those things up.
Do crematoriums only have one oven?
I'm sure it varies.
Right.
But maybe it was just one big oven that was capable of handling multiple bodies at one time.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. It would be, I wouldn't mind seeing it once.
Yeah, I think I'd be interested.
Like, as long as it was just like a, I don't know, fucking Chinese dissident or something, like not anyone I know.
Or maybe like a mannequin.
But that's not going to melt the same. That's just going to look like a candle.
Or maybe Jay Moore holding hands with a mannequin.
That I would be
and
into.
Jay Moore and that joke can go up in flames.
Yeah. Well, his version
Jay
of it.
Jay Moore.
His version of it. Yeah, I don't know what the story is with these infants. It's really fucking weird.
It is very odd.
And because it just, yeah, because the story just came out, we don't know. There haven't been any updates of late. I wonder what they can even charge him with.
I think it's so interesting. I don't know why I would think true crime would stop just because there's more ways to find people out. But just because there is DNA and forensics and video and everything else, it doesn't mean that people still aren't fucking weird and have fetishes or whatever.
Right.
And do weird acts. So it seems weird when it's like, oh my God, this just happened. But yeah. Things like this are still happening. And I think it's insane that like I haven't heard of this, although I don't watch a lot of news. But I think there is just so much of this stuff going on.
Yeah. I just, because we do that daily podcast, mm-hmm. I just have to go through a bunch of headlines all week. So that's the only way I heard about this. It wasn't like major news. There's some slightly more important things happening in the country recently.
Yeah, but I think this is weird too. Like, how is like 11 bodies just like a small corner section in the back page of the paper?
Yeah, it does deserve a little more attention. 11 baby bodies.
Yeah.
Not just bodies. Babies.
Plus the three moldy ones.
Yeah, the three moldy adults. Ones. I also, just because I was sticking really hard to the in the walls angle, there was a similar story that broke, I think, just last week or the week before in Mexico. And the cops went in there, and it was also an abandoned crematorium. And they just, I think they found 60 bodies.
Oh, my goodness.
That were just stacked up and rotting because someone had abandoned this funeral home. It's fucking horrifying.
Right.
We did a story on, I think it was on the Daily episode also not too long ago, where police in, I can't think of what town in Mexico it was, or what city in Mexico, but the authorities, like, they had, basically, there was so many murders, like gun violence murders, that their morgue got filled up, so they put, like, 100-some bodies in a van and just parked it on the outskirts of town, and people were like, what the fuck? There's a van full of bodies.
Why wouldn't you,
can you please move this?
Roll it over a cliff or into like a lake.
Well, they were trying to like preserve the bodies so they could deal with them later, because it was apparently claimed it was a refrigerated van, but I think the van broke down or something.
Well, right. I think you'd have to keep it running.
Yeah. And I don't know how you would do that for an extended amount of time.
It's called bullshit to that story.
Yeah.
Well, very practical.
I mean, their explanation is bullshit.
Right.
But yeah, the bodies were there. Mexico's wild.
Mexico is wild.
Chet Wild wanted to go to Mexico. He did shows in El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept saying he wanted to go there just to get the stamp on his passport. It's like, you're going to get murdered.
Yeah, now's maybe not the time to go. Or from my perspective, now is the time to go.
What do you mean, Carrie?
I'll drive him to Tijuana and then throw my car in reverse.
So how about these babies that were found in bottles underneath the floor of a home in Japan? There's not a lot of information about this story because it's from Japan, but termite exterminators were working on a house renovation in Japan. They uncovered the bodies of several babies preserved in bottles, some with umbilical cords still attached. They appeared to have been preserved in a substance resembling formalin. They were found beneath the floor of a house that had been abandoned for the past 3 years, previously occupied by an obstetrician. Question, were these abortion souvenirs? Maybe he was doing some abortion and then...
some abortion work?
And I don't know if abortion is legal in Japan. Maybe it's illegal. And he was like, I'll dispose of these for you.
I think that's a good theory. Putting them in bottles. Well, I guess then if they get found, it's like, oh, they were a science experiment.
That I kept under the floorboards of my house.
Because where else really would you? You can't just leave them out in the open. That's weird.
Yeah, you can't just leave it out.
Yeah, you need a special compartment for babies in jars.
Yeah, I would think so. Or you could just display them. Just really go for it.
Like on your mantle?
And be like, hey, I'm that weird goth obstetrician. Look at all these fake babies.
You couldn't put them in the attic, because what if, like... there was an earthquake or something, and they fell over and broke, and then the formaldehyde and baby juice seeped through the ceiling.
Yeah.
And left those stains, water stains on your
popcorn. And then it gets wet
ceilings enough
that it falls through, and then you're covered
in mess.
Babies.
You just watch a TV, and there's a bad storm.
Bad
storm.
And the
next thing you know, babies on your lap.
Babies on your lap, in your hair, everywhere. They're going to stain the couch.
Oh, I just imagine that smell staying with you for a while.
Yeah, you'd have to switch professions probably.
Right.
But I don't know. If you're already keeping babies in jars.
Maybe
not.
Did pick the right profession.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows what was happening with that. But the babies have been found and now they can be returned to their owners. I don't know.
But if they were aborted, like, I thought I was caught with you. Is that like throwing away a Ouija board and it comes back?
Yeah.
I was rid of you.
This is your responsibility now.
You could put that in a poster in Japan for safe sex. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, put your Jimmy hat on, Japan.
Yeah, you could do one of those, like, remember those old 80s sitcoms where a kid would come home and they'd have an egg and they'd have to, like, keep it alive, and it was like an experiment to see if you could take care of a baby. You could do that with these, and as long as they don't break the jar, then they're stable enough to be a parent. Because
would
that's
they have
really
to change the baby, well, change the jar.
They're gonna have to change the formalin. Yeah,
formaldehyde in the jar.
Yeah, you want to change that.
Yeah.
But on the bright side, you can dip a joint in that and smoke it, and it's just like LSD.
I almost feel like that's a scared straight program for teens or preteens in Japan.
Yeah,
it should be in America.
But then you know it would just be. I would definitely be on eBay trying to get one of those jar babies if this was like a scared straight thing in America.
And then,
where
would it come with, like, back in the day, if you got a Cabbage Patch doll, it'd come with a little card, like a birth certificate.
If it didn't, I would make one.
Right? And it'd have its name and, you know, it could talk maybe about its ancestry.
Right.
What it's like, how did it end up in that jar?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
What do you think of this story? I can't decide if this woman was murdered or not.
It's a very odd story, and if it's true, I think this is like the worst way to die because I have claustrophobia.
Oh, yeah. This would be fucking terrible. This happened in Harris County in Texas. Mary Stewart Cerruti, 61. She had been missing since 2015. She was found in March 2017 wedged in the walls of her home. This is a quote from Trisha Bentley, the spokesperson for the Harris County Medical Examiner. In the attic, there was a broken board that led down to the space. Law enforcement thinks she may have been up in the attic and fell through the attic floor. Ugh. So you're just stuck in the walls. Like, couldn't you climb back up? I mean, I get maybe if she
you're 61. Your agility isn't great. Did you see that movie, 27 Hours?
127 Hours?
27 hours,
Franco.
You're still like hopeful. 127, though, you're ready to gnaw your arm off.
If he cut his arm off after 27.
Oh, I would. After 27 minutes, I would freak out. I'm not the person to be in an emergency of any kind.
No.
I mean, I guess kind of same premise, right? Although he could at least, once he got rid of that arm that weighed him down, he was able to get out. I would be scared I was going to bleed to death.
Yeah. She wasn't able to film any vlogs while she was trapped either.
Right.
It was just her and, ugh.
So if this is...
There was probably bugs and rodents back there.
If she died down there, was it from lack of air, crushed lungs, starvation?
Starvation.
dehydration.
Ugh.
I mean, that sounds awful.
I bet dehydration is legitimately one of the worst ways to die.
Yeah, and especially, like, I drink water constantly. Out of all my addictions, this is, like, my only good one, redeemable quality. But I get anxiety if I don't have water next to me at all times.
Yeah, that would be fucking brutal.
I would probably be that person who, like, died in 15 minutes just because I was so in my head.
Yeah, like, you'd want, after, like,
yeah,
at least...
we don't know. They do an autopsy and be like, I don't know how she died. She actually was still in perfect health.
People showed up 45 minutes later. She would have been fine.
Right.
So yeah, the cause of death is listed as undetermined because the remains were skeletonized. No evidence shows exactly how she died. Remains went undiscovered for more than a year. Her home eventually went into foreclosure, and the skeleton was recovered along with degrading clothing and a pair of shoes and eyeglasses during renovation. Here's the interesting part. Before she vanished, Cerruti opposed housing developments in her neighborhood, even attending Houston Planning Commission meetings, during which she called the developers the bad guys. And now enter her adorable neighbor, who I wish we could see this interview in person, because her neighbor is the only person quoted in this article as believing, hey, maybe she was murdered. And this is Roxanne Davis. The gap in the boards appears to be maybe 8 inches, and Mary was certainly very frail, but it's hard for me to believe that a person could step on a board and their entire body would go down a crack that is 2 inches wider than a dollar bill. She also said there were a couple hundred pairs of eyes on her house at all times, and anybody could look down and see that she was alone, she was elderly, she was frail, and she was vulnerable, flat out vulnerable.
Yeah.
Did you look at the picture?
No.
Because I do actually think...
Oh, this was on People?
Yeah. Your one-stop shop for stories about old women stuck it. See, look how Mary looks very skinny. Like, that's only a headshot.
But still, 8 inches?
But I don't...
It's so,
like,
tiny.
Is that 8 inches, though?
And then, okay, so then do your feet go out? You know, think about the parts that could get stuck on the way down.
Oh, I thought this was Aphrodite Jones for a second.
It did look like Aphrodite.
A younger Aphrodite.
Right.
This is the... I feel like that's more than 8 inches. That's a pretty...
I don't know how you could fall down that.
Decent size gap.
And if you fell down, I feel like there would be, and it doesn't show the entire gap, but there would be some sort of damage on the way down.
Yeah, who knows?
So it does make a compelling argument for her being murdered and stuffed in there.
Yeah. Ooh, look at that creepy ass rodent trap right next to where she fell.
Right.
I wonder if a rat killed her. Maybe the rat was like, who's setting traps now, Mary?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's the dummy now, Mare?
So, yeah, who knows? She might have been murdered. Even then, if she was murdered, how do you get her down that hole without the damage and all that?
I feel like if it's before rigor mortis sets in, then they're more malleable.
Oh, definitely.
So she might not have been that hard unless they picked a board up and then nailed it?
Yeah, that could be too. That would be smart.
That would be smart.
That would be... Oh, and I wonder if she was dead when they did this, or if they just like... What if they just like put her in there and were like...
Bye.
Bye. Those are always my least favorite true crime episodes, when people get buried alive or like just chained together and thrown in the ocean. It's like, oh no.
There was one of those true crime shows where... And it actually might have been a People Investigates, because you know how much I love that show. But where they were talking about people coming over from Mexico, and they would find all these different spots, you know, like down in Texas or wherever, where they could cross. And then there would be trains where if you pay $300 or whatever, people, I can't think of what they call them.
Coyotes?
Yeah, I believe so. Would take them across in this train. But a lot of times, once they paid the $300, then they would like trap them in these like rail cars and then try to extort money out of their family.
Right.
Well, they also got busted a lot. And so they had these, I want to say there was like 9 or 10, whatever, Mexican people in one of those rail carts. And it was like the middle of summer and the train stopped and police came. So the coyotes left. But it was like a really like tall one. So they were just stuck in there because nobody knew they were in there. And so they all, I think, died of like heat exhaustion or whatever.
Ugh, that sucks.
How awful would that be?
Yeah, that would be really bad.
Yeah.
or to get thrown down into the crevice between your wall and your foundation would be bad too.
Yeah.
We're sorry, Mary. Whatever happened to you. Don't be so clumsy next
time.
But
it does also, again, if she was murdered, it doesn't always pay to like make a fuss about things.
Yeah. Yeah. You could just let them put those fucking developments up.
Do you remember that story? I think it was Madeleine Albright. It was that lady who was like an atheist, like before anybody spoke out about the Pledge of Allegiance and stuff.
It wasn't Madeleine Albright, but I know who you're talking about. There's a Netflix movie about her.
Yeah. And her like son and daughter or daughter-in-law, something like that, they'd go around a city speaking out about God and the Pledge of Allegiance, etc.
Yeah.
And then she ended up getting murdered. And again, it's kind of like, was that necessary or could you just have been an atheist quietly at home?
Yeah. Well, didn't her son play a role in killing her?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, she was like the first atheist. Like she was like patient zero.
Right.
So someone's got to be first.
So maybe it was just her killed and buried, and I'm sure somebody listening knows the story. And if so, if it was the son, then it was like, oh, I'm going to get away with it because so many people hate her.
Yeah. I think that was the thinking, is so many people hated her that they'd be able to kill her and
get money and
get away with it and just blame. We don't know. Anyone could have killed her. There's a movie about that woman's life and murder, and it's really good. All right. Last story. How about the goddamn music hall in Cincinnati?
Call back to your earlier foreshadowing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I mentioned this at the beginning of the episode. And now here we are. Who could have seen that coming after I yelled foreshadowing alert?
I did. And I think Winter did too.
Winter probably did. She's a very perceptive dog. Mm-hmm. The music hall in Cincinnati. Apparently it's just called Music Hall, which...
Keep it simple.
Come on, Cincinnati. The property underneath it is a well-documented public burial site or potter's field going as far back as 200 years. During recent renovations, human remains were found underneath the orchestra pit. So everyone who has ever played in Music Hall in Cincinnati in the orchestra was playing on top of a bunch of dead bodies.
Yeah.
That's gross. They're all haunted now.
I wonder if they were like bringer shows, like if you bring a dead body, we'll give you like a 5-minute solo.
It could be, but that, how do you get them underneath? Like that's
a lot of work.
That is a whole lot of work.
Is that Phantom of the Opera style or?
I don't know. I've never seen Phantom of the Opera.
Me neither. I'm just trying to sound classy.
Yeah, I've never had an interest because he just looks weird wearing that mask.
So weird.
Yeah, what do I care? During recent renovations, they found these bodies. They've likely been there since at least 1928, which is the last time construction work was done on the building. It's believed to be 4 adult bodies. Speculation is that they were moved from a burial ground and placed in a single grave. 6 other grave shafts. Yeah. were found in the North Carriageway, a space between Music Hall's main building and the North Hall. Each contained wooden coffins that appeared to have been, and this is a quote, disturbed during previous construction efforts. You think they fucked those corpses?
Possibly.
I bet they did.
Necrophiliacs.
I bet that's what they found. Bones have been popping up at this place. Bones have been popping up.
Not boners.
But still. Since construction began in 1876, 100 years before my birthday. Property was a...
Our birthday.
Our birthday, yes. The property was a potter's field in 1918.
1818.
Oh, 1818. I can't read.
Sound
is
it
all
out.
All it is. Yeah.
Although it's numbers.
Yeah, I can't read numbers either. Occupied by the Cincinnati Orphanage Asylum in the 1830s, skeletons have been recovered pretty much every time they renovate the building. 1876, the 1920s, 1988. In the 1920s incident, workers just found bones and reburied them under an elevator shaft.
I would do that. I'd be that lazy employee.
Yeah, because then there's so much less paperwork.
If you can just 100%.
Bury them somewhere else and act like you never found
them. Unless it's the end of the month and you have a quota to fill.
Right. Yeah.
You just keep moving.
In 1988, they rediscovered those bones and reburied those. But then during the 1988 incident, 11 skulls and 88 pounds of bones were discovered in one day. The next day, they found another 119 pounds of bones. I bet they all died from eating skyline chili because that shit is gross. You ever had Skyline Chili?
No.
It is a I wouldn't say delicacy, but it's like a local meal in Cincinnati. There's a chain of places called Skyline Chili, and it's like a native thing to Cincinnati. And it's spaghetti with chili on top of it and then a whole bunch of cheese, which sounds fine.
Yeah, it sounds okay.
But the chili is gross. It's got chocolate in it, for one thing. It's just a really unpleasant, like, you know how when you throw up in your mouth a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Skyline Chili tastes like.
Would you rather throw up Skyline Chili or chocolate Tabasco candies?
I'm never touching those those chilies again, so definitely Skyline
Chili. It's almost your anniversary.
Chili.
It's almost your two-year anniversary of the Tabasco chocolate incident.
Hasn't it passed? Or no, that was in December, wasn't
it? Yeah, that's right. It was our first Christmas episode.
Oh, yeah, I'm never touching those again. I'm wary of anything from Trader Joe's, but I still eat a bunch of stuff from Trader Joe's.
Yeah, I was going to say, one bad thing, I don't think you should completely write off Trader Joe's. I think they have a pretty good
overall. It made me so sick.
Yeah.
And they didn't bring the sticky toffee pudding back this year, which...
How dare them.
Right? Like, why even stay open for Christmas?
Yeah, they should just all shut down until January.
Yeah, I would think so. And then bring that shit back in January. I'll eat it year-round. It's good. You ever had sticky toffee pudding?
I have not.
It is, it's not pudding. It's more like a sort of a cake type of thing. And it's made with dates, which doesn't sound amazing, but it is amazing.
Okay.
You eat it with a little ice cream. They have it at Ye Olde King's Head in Santa Monica.
Okay.
The British bar, because it's like a British thing.
Yeah.
It's really fucking good. If anyone out there can ever, even if you find it in the walls of your home during renovation, an old sticky toffee pudding, fucking microwave it up and try it out anyway. See how good it is. I bet it's still good.
Possibly.
I feel like I did a good job there of bringing it back around to the topic.
No, you did, because I actually had a Trader Joe story to get us back off topic. Do you know that comic, Craig Philip Conant?
Yeah, I think he did one of the shows at the Alex Theater.
Or he was going to.
Yeah, something like that.
Very funny. But he's been working at Trader Joe's as a stock boy for like 10 years. And I think he's doing better and better in comedy and starting to tour. So I think he wanted to get fired. So he was making all these different videos where he should be stocking and he's just like throwing merchandise at like coworkers and customers and against the wall. And then what finally got him fired is he did a video of him walking into his boss's office, sitting on his boss's lap and farting. And that's what got him fired. Trader Joe's, no mo.
That's like borderline assault.
Unless the fart was welcomed.
Oh, that or smelled good. You know, every once in a while, one will get out and it's like, it's not bad.
There's been worse.
Yeah.
After eating Skyline Chili.
Skyline Chili, to bring us back to the topic.
Yeah, it smells like chili and chocolate and spaghetti all wrapped up into one.
Oh, it's so gross. I'm sorry, Cincinnati. It's just not good.
Oh, that's on them.
And also get all those skeletons out of your music hall. Put them somewhere else.
It's time.
Yeah. Quit burying people under your symphony. So that's our episode. Do we have anything to plug before we get out of here?
Just listen to White Wine True Crime as well. Please listen to both.
Of course.
We are going to be covering Making a Murderer 2, but our equipment crashed like at the last episode we did, and then Caitlin ordered new equipment, and then I guess it's not working, so she has to send it back. I just think she's avoiding me. I don't think she wants to hang out anymore, and she's going to delay this as long as possible, but that's the problem. I won't go anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. So we will be covering Making a Murderer 2. I just don't know when. But follow us at White Wine True Crime, or you can follow me on the gram at CarrieMartin22 or on the Twitter at CarrieMartin722.
And patreon.com/unpops, $5 a month. You keep help this ship afloat. Help keep this ship afloat. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us money. Just give us money so we can stay.
I think
making podcasts.
Listener Colin Harrington tweeted. He was like, yeah, pretty scary is one of the shows that made me contribute to Unpop's Patreon. And I was like, I just imagine somebody holding a gun to his head. Like, if you have to contribute.
We sent a street team out.
To one Patreon.
They were armed.
Maybe you should.
I might. It's not a terrible idea.
we've had worse collectively.
Yeah.
Speaking of, let's do a shot of that grain alcohol.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Why not?
We have to do it before Angie gets here.
No, I know. That's why I'm saying the clock is ticking.
All right. Let's get out of here. Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Oh, my God.